Francesca present Santa Matrimony.
Welcome to another episode of Santa Matrimony. I am your host, Matt Scalisi, and with me, as usual, my co-host, partner, and lovely wife, Francesca. How are you, dear?
I'm good, Matt.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm trying to speak more loudly than we did in the last few podcasts because it's been difficult to hear us.
That does not answer my question.
How am I? Is what you're
well,
what you want to know?
You asked me weirdly how you how I
how So this podcast I want to try, and I'm springing this on you right now, but I want to try format this slightly differently.
No, what's wrong with it? It's got a winning We've got a winning competition.
I know.
Happening.
Look, it's good, but
no, it's great.
We've had
That's why so many people listen.
We've had a couple of requests, and they're reasonable. And the particular request, though, that inspired me to do this is comes from our good friend and filmmaker Sam McDavid, who is a big fan of our podcast, but finds that he's not able to listen to many of them because.
Want to do it spoiler free.
No, we're not going to do the podcast spoiler free, but what I want to do right at the beginning here is I want us to give a brief, you know, verdict.
By the way, if you can hear me, it's because you're holding the phone directly next to your mouth and far, far away from me.
I'm not, but you do have a very light voice, so I'll try to hold it close to you.
I'd like you to know that someone stopped me when I was working in the register at Kohl's over Christmas and said, "Are you in a choir? Because you have a wonderful voice. It's very resonant." So I will thank you to not say that my voice is light, and I will thank you to hold the phone closer to my mouth! Please.
Well, that will all be cut out, but...
Oh, yeah, it's going to be cut out, because you don't want people to know the truth.
So, at Sam's... At Sam's behest, what we're going to try to do here is give just a very brief, kind of an Ebert and Roper style, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, or whatever. I just want to say whether we like it or not, or recommend it or not, early here, so that we can you know, recommend it to friends.
Remember that part?
Yeah. Well, I'm just setting up a format change.
Yeah. Well, the preamble is.
So, anyways, let's do that, and then we'll sort of hit a dividing line where we say, "Don't listen anymore if you haven't seen it." So, first off, Francesca. Our film today that we're talking about is The Artist. So why don't you tell everybody what you thought of it and whether they should see it?
If you like happiness, then you should see it. If you like your heart being warmed like a toaster strudel in the morning, you should see it. I loved it, and my heart exploded with joy.
Okay, so that's good. That's a nice little quick synopsis, and I will back Francesca's endorsement as well. I think it's an excellent movie. By the time you're hearing this, it will have been nominated for Best Picture, and it is well deserving of said nomination. And we'll go into a little bit more of whether I think it is the best movie of the year or not once we hit the spoilery section. But we would say it's not a conventional movie at all, but
no, if you have a brain and a heart, you will like it.
Yeah,
I don't think you have to be like, "I don't know if you'd like it." It's, I mean, because it's not like inaccessible.
No, it's not at all. But you're not going to see
what's going on.
You're not going to see any teenagers in there with you, which could be a good thing for a lot of people.
Well, cool teenagers will see it.
Yeah, but it ain't Transformers 3.
And we thank God for that.
Right. So. End of spoiler-free section. Move along if you want to see the movie and don't want to hear anything else about it before you see it. So, and I hope you're happy, Sam McDavid, our loyal fan. So, Francesca, I think I kind of want to start talking about this movie with the last shot of the movie. Because
wow, way to go, mister. We don't want to give spoilers.
Well,
what if somebody hasn't gotten to the button yet? What if they were using the restroom?
Well, now they know. Now they definitely know what's coming. So, it's amazing how jarring it is. Even though I knew that the lead actor and actress were French.
Well, she doesn't
she doesn't do it, but
I didn't think she
but
said anything,
we get one phrase out of the lead actor, and I've so been, and I'm sure this is the point of that. I've so been convinced of his performance that it's extremely jarring to hear the French accent come out of his mouth, because at this point my brain has built him up to be Gene Kelly, basically.
Yeah. I love him because I love Gene Kelly, although he doesn't have quite the nose of Gene Kelly. Gene Kelly has a beautiful, straight, thin nose. But, well, I mean, I think on the one hand I was surprised. On the other hand, I was like, of course, because that is the, you know, the lore of the silent screen actors. They all had accents, so that's why they couldn't transition into talkies. So, like, on the one hand, yeah, you buy into it so much that you're like, oh, that's like a little button at the end of the movie that, like, that's why he didn't want to do, that's why he didn't do talkies, is because he has an accent. But on the other hand, you have your moment where you go, ah, and then you have the moment where you're like, well, yeah, duh, I liked it. I'm just saying.
I don't really know what you're saying there exactly, but you're making a lot of noises and not as much, like, you know, coherent sentences. But
I think it did make sense, frankly. I'm saying, yes, you're in the movie going, like, he's just an American actor and he just doesn't want to, you know, talk in films because he doesn't want to talk in films. And then, so then you have this, the moment of surprise where he says, it would be a pleasure, or whatever he says. And yeah. And you're like,
but it's a little
bit. And
then
you go like, oh yeah, well, obviously, that makes sense, because that is, like I'm saying, in real life, that is the yeah. deal with the silent film actors.
But I mean, I don't.
Had accents or bad voices or
I
whatever.
Don't think he really is supposed to be a French character. I don't think that was really the point of, I mean, I think it's sort of a meta.
No, I think that
it's a meta commentary.
I'm saying, though, I think that,
yeah,
you know, because he has one line in the whole movie, so if they didn't want to make that point, then they would, you know, I'm sure he could have, he's a good enough actor that he could have learned to say, it would be my pleasure, without an accent. But I think, like I said, that's part of the lore of the silent to talk movies, you know, transition, was that they had accents and, or, you know, high-pitched funny voices, or, like, there was a reason why these people who were the, you know, glittering stars of the silent screen couldn't transition into, you know, talkies.
Well, that's a good point.
So I'm saying, I think that, you know, if they weren't trying to make that point, then they would, he wouldn't have said, you know, pleasure with the accent. And
that is the point. I just mean, I don't think it's really, like, particularly supposed to be the narrative. It's not as much of a narrative reveal as it is a theme, or, you know, it's...
You're
it's,
the one who's not making sense.
No, I'm saying, I don't think they're supposed to, you're supposed to get to the end of the movie and go, he was French all along. I think it's supposed to be just, like, making the point to the audience of, like, hey, it does actually make a huge difference to make a silent film.
Yes.
Because of all the things you just said.
That was exactly what I said when you said I wasn't making sense. Is that, well, it takes you back, and then you go like, well, no, that makes sense.
I'm just clarifying that I don't think it was necessarily a narrative point.
Whatever. Okay.
So, what do you, obviously, we like him. What was your opinion on the, and I'm not going to remember her name, but the lead actress's performance?
Well, her name was Peppy, was the character's name.
Well, I remember the character's name, but
it's like Bernice, but it's the French.
Yeah, you're right.
That, so it's like Berenice or better. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know her name.
You're right.
She was great, and she, you know, in the, you know, Missy Pyle is kind of a strange looking gal, but there's a certain face that when you put it in a bob haircut, it totally works, and like.
Well,
obviously,
Tim Burton knows that she's cartoonish. He's, you know.
No, but I'm saying, like, usually she's kind of strange looking, but to me she was, it was like, yeah, she could be a, you know, 20s movie star. Like, and she didn't look
yeah.
weird. She looked like, you know, the kind of face they used to put in there. And, you know, Peppy, we'll just call her that for our.
Yeah, we're calling her Peppy for sure.
You know, was kind of, she's not, like, glorious looking, but she has that face where when she smiles,
yeah.
suddenly she lights up and she really does look quite striking, and looks very much like a 20s, 30s era kind
and
of flapper pretty woman.
I liked her a lot more as the movie went on than I did at first. At first, I kind of thought she seemed annoying in her first scene.
Well,
and I got over it. I started to like her as the movie went more and more.
Well, that sort of falls into the style of acting was, like, it wasn't just like, oh, it's in black and white and there's no sound. Like, they really went for the style of a film made in that era.
Right.
Even in the overacting, winking, you know, being really chirpy and like.
Especially, you know, John Goodman's performance is like that. He's definitely playing a 20s, 30s character.
Yeah, so like even, you know, when they were not making a film, they were still acting
right.
in the fashion of a film of that era. And so, you know, the sassy, like, His Girl Friday would kind of walk with that little jaunty thing. And, like, you know, because, again, it's her thing. Like,
right.
she's going to be discovered. And so she's got to hold her head up high and kind of throw her shoulders back and really, like, you know, act the part of
yeah.
herself. But also it's the way a heroine would act. In a
Even though,
of that.
Yeah.
My brain is folding in on itself.
No, but. here's what. I'm going to use some Quentin Tarantino terminology here, but it's what he would call a movie. In other words, it is not in any way intended to reflect reality. Even though they are making movies within this movie,
well,
the actual world of the film that we're watching exists in this genre, you know.
Well, look no further
fantasy.
Than his relationship with his dog.
Right.
Not on screen.
Right.
You know, like, even just any time,
right. It's
the
like
ongoing
the...
ongoing gag with the gun.
The Thin Man...
The dog, you know,
the
like,
Thin Man movies had, you know, a man like that with a dog. But in real life, the actor probably didn't go home with the dog and the dog save his life all the time. It, you know, this is like the movie where there is no... The, you know, there's no difference between the movie world and the real world.
But that being said... Which, again, this is what they were able to do back in that era with the movies. There were kind of, you know, real moments of pathos, whatever you want to call it, because I feel real dumb right now because I can't remember which way is the correct way to say it, so we're going to say it both ways. You know, like, the scene on that fabulous, you know, set of staircases where they kind of run into each other.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
I think it was 29.
Yeah.
And she's kind of on her way up, and he's just found out they're only going to make talkies. And she's so excited to see him.
She's literally on her way up, and he
yeah,
is
well,
on
exactly.
his way down.
But she's so excited to see him, and she's like, oh, call me. But she said it like this. That was me doing some silent acting.
Yeah, people
for you.
Can't hear your physical motions there.
Well, they get it. And his facial acting at that moment is so sad, because he's like, you know, doing that, like, happy for her, but he's kind of dying inside.
He's
like,
just
it was
been,
like this really,
he's
like,
just been canned.
Yeah.
Right before that, yeah.
And he's kind of like, you know, trying to be a good sport, but he's doesn't know what he's going to do. It was just like this really, like, nice moment that, you know, again, that's the thing of, you know, I guess that's the charm of, you know, a Gene Kelly movie or something like that, that everybody's kind of overacting and, you know, winking and being adorable, but they still manage to get those, like, human moments in there that, you know, it's like the better version of life, but also, like, even they are sad. Like, it still speaks to you.
To me, there are two, like, transcendent kind of classic romantic comedy, or I guess the term would probably be screwball, scenes. Although, one of them is not really so much in that style. I'll go through them really quick. The one that feels most like a classic Hollywood moment that they've just sort of recaptured the magic of is the scene where she's dancing behind the screen, and they have the little dance off with the, and then there's the big reveal of who each other is. And even though we see it coming, it's just a great that is something.
Well, again,
right,
it's that facial acting that
it's
just makes
right
it feel
out
like,
of a oh. of a 20s movie. I mean, it's just it's
I'd
actually
say probably more of a 30s.
Yeah, it's more 30s, of a later. Yeah, movie. It's more of a classic screwball moment. But then the other moment to me. And it really didn't... It's really out of place. It's kind of an anachronism in the movie, but it's a beautiful scene. It's where we're seeing the outtakes of... and it's played again later in the movie. The outtakes of a scene that he's filming where they... It's really their...
Meet cute.
Well, but they've already met earlier, but...
Yeah, but it's their fall
it's
in
where
love
they're,
moment.
It's their fall in love moment, yeah, where they're filming and they keep breaking up every time they get to each other, basically. And... it's very, like, that's probably the one scene in the movie that has kind of a, you know, a verite quality to it, where it's instead of being, like, this very movied-up movie scene, it feels more like we really are watching, like, a real outtake from a film, and these are two, like, human beings having a a moment that couldn't be stopped. And that was a very touching scene to me. And I don't really care that it doesn't fit the style of the rest of the movie, because it's still
I think you maybe just haven't watched enough old movies, though. Because they could do romance. And they could do it in a way that didn't feel false, you know?
Yeah.
Again, that's my point, is that so much of it was winking, you know, tap dancing, smiling, mugging. But the reason people still love those movies, if it was all false, people wouldn't have the connection they do with them. But they really could, in the style of, you know, I don't know, Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, like, yes, they would do chirpy and clever things, but they also kind of got at the heart of something, and that's why we still respond to, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of music from that era, too, is there's wordplay left, right, and center, but somewhere in it there's, you know, an unironic heart that kind of makes us all go, aww.
Well, now, I want to turn off my sentimentality for a second and try to ask an honest question, which we brought this up on the AL.com flick fix last week, which is, you know, before we had seen it, the question was, if this movie wasn't silent and black and white, would people be making a big deal out of it?
Well, it's the essence of the movie.
Right, I totally agree. And style, you can't remove that from it, because style is substance in movies. So you can't, it's not really a fair question to say, what if it wasn't? Because that's kind of
the point. That's, you know, it's not really it's not really actually in the style of a silent movie.
But that's an argument you're going to hear from people, and I've already seen kind of, especially a lot of the crowd that is going to be skeptical about this stuff and isn't easily taken with novelty. You're seeing a lot of people out there say, if this movie wasn't silent,
then it wouldn't be a big deal. You big idiot.
Well, I agree with you.
I mean, look, as long as a gimmick is, you know,
it's not a gimmick, though.
I mean, if you want to be, you know, if you want to say, oh, it's just a gimmick to get butts in the seat, which, first of all, it's a gimmick that would probably keep butts out of the seat, I would think, for, you know, general
right.
movie.
Well, that's a good point.
But, you know,
but
as
it
long
gets
as you
noticed.
Commit to it and
it does,
do it well,
yeah.
then that's fine. You know, Psycho did not have to be in black and white. Is anybody faulting Alfred Hitchcock? I mean, you know,
Gus
Van Sant did it in color,
right.
and it did rob some essence
say,
of the movie.
That experiment has been done, and it
right.
was proven.
So that's what I'm
yeah, so
you know, it's like, would people still like this if it was like different actors and a different script? Because I mean, it's, you know, the look of a film,
yes.
the style of a film is the essence of a film.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if anything, that's kind of the point of this, too, is that you don't need the words and the, you know, if you strip it down to, you know, faces, you can still make a movie.
And I think that last shot that we talked about proves that it absolutely has to be silent. And yes, that is, that's as crucial a part of it as anything. And it's not the same thing as making a movie 3D, you know, that the difference between sound and no sound is a lot different than 3D and non-3D. You know, I think to categorize this as a gimmick wouldn't really be correct,
right.
because I think it is a style choice, and it's something that affects the way we perceive everything that's happening in the entire movie.
Well, I mean, especially, you know, it affects the performances of the
right.
actors, which is, you know, again, kind of the essence of a movie, is how you are acting in it, you know?
The fair question then becomes, and this could be a whole other podcast, but what we've just done is basically experience the movie the way that deaf people experience every movie. And so,
well, except for, you know, if it's, you know, somebody typing on a computer screen and talking to their, you know, like, no, because this movie was intended, you know, the acting style was then, you know, that of people not, sorry, I just got distracted by something creepy out the window.
Yeah, there was a man with a dog outside in the dark.
And a flashlight.
Right.
What was I saying?
Your point, I think what your point is that, you know, like if we were taking, let's say,
there's no sound.
Let's say we were taking a Wes Anderson movie. I imagine a deaf person gets a lot less out of that than we do because
actually,
because there's
so much, Wes Anderson is the incorrect
No, every character, every character in every Wes Anderson movie is completely deadpan for the entire performance. They don't express any emotions.
They're really pretty. Yeah, which again, sort of, you know, perhaps this 30s and 40s style of acting that we're discussing was, to some extent, a holdover from silent films, where it was so much about your face, you know, that yes, now they have dialogue, but you're still, you know...
Well, they just learned how to act the way they learned how to act, yeah. And it's and it wasn't about theatrical. I mean, you didn't really get theatrical actors coming into movies until pretty significantly after the sound revolution, so...
Well, no, I think actually that was the pedigree of a lot of people, and therefore... Or, you know, what you knew as acting was people on stage, you know, projecting really big and, you know...
Yeah, but you didn't have Marlon. You didn't have Marlon Brando's yet in the movies until, you know...
I don't know. This is getting...
Yeah, you're right. We're getting too deep into it and off track. But, I mean, I think we both clearly agree that this is a very good movie. It lives up to the hype and the billing, and
And specifically what made my heart explode was your last scene when they've come to the solution, and it is just that beautiful Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers moment. And I think, you know, yes, he looks like... Well, Gene Kelly wasn't really... He did tap dancing, but that setup of, like, you know, just the set and the tap, that's actually more of a Fred Astaire thing, too. You know, Gene Kelly was a little bit more of a stuntsman, that if he was going to be dancing, it was going to be a little more acrobatic.
Right.
But I think that it wasn't for nothing that's kind of what it harkened to, because, you know, she's the young ingenue, he's a little bit of an older, you know, guy. And
right.
That sort of, I think they were trying to, you know, well, mirror that a little bit.
We haven't seen War Horse yet, and so we can't really give you our verdict on Best Picture.
I can.
Would this be your pick for Best Picture right now?
I think so. What else is...
Oh, you got The Help out there. You got...
That's fine. I mean, Best Picture.
Sure it will.
No, I think this is my favorite.
Okay. So we have a leader in the clubhouse for Francesca.
I think so. Because I honestly can't remember the last time that I almost had tears of joy in a movie, but this one had me welling up just from the sheer... I just couldn't contain how happy it
was. You were exploding with happiness at the end of the movie.
Well, you know, this is a gal from a musical theater background who literally used to watch That's Entertainment like once a week, which is, you know, is a clip show of like MGM musicals. So that's, you know, that's very close to my heart and stuff that I love so much.
Well, I'm a fan. I'm not going to pass a verdict yet on Best Picture, but this is up there for me for sure.
But I don't, you know, I guess it kind of depends on what else is not. No, it doesn't for me. But again, I don't look at it as like what should win because of, you know.
No, I just want to know if you had a vote, what you would vote for.
That I would vote for The Artist.
Well, there we go.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're gonna vote for A Boy and His Horse, you big.
I've not passed judgment yet because I haven't seen War Horse because somebody won't go with me. Am I going to have to see it by myself? Will there be no cinematrimony on War Horse?
I don't know, Matt.
We don't know yet.
Jeez.
Okay, well, thank you for recording with me. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you may or may not get a War Horse podcast in the near future.
Yep.
Right. Tweet at Francesca. If you want us to get a War Horse podcast done for you.
Nobody follows me, Matt. Remember?
Well, follow her and then tweet at her. Okay, bye.